Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen. What is it that we do?
We take the time. We have the passion and the energy to give the people.
Yes. We have a Camp Cam Newton controversy. We have the Celtics getting beat by the Pelicans, but we start with the hottest team in basketball right now this minute. That is the Brooklyn Nets. They beat the Clippers after beating the Lakers, and it was Harden and Kyrie that carried them, combining for 65 points. Jalen, what do you think about this Nets streak?
Shame on you. When you step through too, it's terrific to watch how Kyrie Irving, I was watching him play basketball and I came with a new nickname for him. Kyberson. When I'm watching him, it's like a combination of Kobe Bryant and Allen Iverson. That's how he's playing right now. And when he goes to James Harden and says, I want you to be focused on the point guard responsibilities, what he's basically saying is, you worry about keeping those other guys happy, including me. Let me go out and score buckets. And that's what he's focused on doing. And it's actually been a joy to watch both of those guys tag team with KD out.
It was, and it was with both Kyrie and KD out that James Harden took over to beat that Phoenix team. They beat the Warriors, they beat the Sacramento Kings, they beat the Suns, they beat the Lakers, and now they beat the Clippers. They're on a 6-game win streak, and everyone criticized their defense. Well, guess what? After that game against your Pistons, because you know when you don't play well against the Pistons, you have to have some conversations with yourself. In this 6-game winning streak, you can see the opponent's field goal percentages are about the same, but look at the point differential. Look at the steals differential. And it's those are the numbers, but the eye test really matches up to it too. They've committed to defense. They get key stops at the end of games. And you know what? I saw something I haven't seen in a long time, Jalen. You know what I saw? James Harden working on the defensive glass. He doesn't always get the rebound, but he's pushing people around and he's getting taps. They're putting a lot of energy onto that end of the floor, and it's really paying off. Do you agree?
I definitely agree. And the one thing I still want to see that they're going to have to iron out, Jacoby, is they're still taking turns, and it's two of the dynamic three. When KD comes back, there's going to be box scores where you look up at the end of the third and one of those guys are going to be hovering around 10 points. That's what I want to see. How they're going to distribute the wealth per se offensively when each of those guys are in the lineup. Now, Joe Harris is getting more shots. You can put Brown in to play D. You can have DeAndre Jordan catching lobs. Like, there's more opportunities for everybody. But when the big dog returns to the yard, Kevin Durant, now all of a sudden we got to redistribute the wealth. So that's what we're waiting to see, how those numbers are going to change once KD returns to the lineup.
Well, Bruce Brown, I'm glad you mentioned him. He adds so many things that they need, does so much for them that is positive that doesn't end up in the box score. But Jalen, you know there's only one number that really matters for this team, and that is the score on the scoreboard. So I think it'll be a problem if they start losing, but if they keep winning, everything will be fine. And there's something I really wanted to talk with you about specifically, and that is Paul George being pulled at the end of the fourth quarter. Now, he was on a minutes restriction, but I have some questions about this. Number one, if he's on a minutes restriction, isn't it Ty Lue's job to make sure that he can finish the game and not play earlier in the game? And number two, if he's on a minutes restriction and there's 11 seconds left and you need a bucket, can't you put him in for 11 seconds?
It's one of those things, Jacoby. I hate to tell this to media members and fans, but on some teams, most teams, the coach and or the player now have to tell the training staff and or management that I want to play anyway. That's the only way to usurp what happened yesterday. Paul George has to go to the squad and say, I feel really good. Allow me to manage my body. And in situations like that, if I want to be in, I'm going to be in. That may be a conversation or not be a conversation that they're having today. But the way it played out, if you're the coaching staff, you have to manage his minutes knowing that it may be a four-quarter game. Now, if it goes into overtime and double overtime, you can't account for that. But you know, in a four-quarter game, if he's going to hover around 33 minutes, you probably want to make sure he's available the last four or five of the game.
especially when he's playing as well as he did. He had 34 points in just 33 minutes. And if I was Ty Lue and I knew I only had 33 minutes of Paul George, I would take him out after he's played 28 and put him back in with 5 minutes left in the game. Jalen, moving on to another big game, and that was the Celtics and the Pelicans. This one was fascinating for so many different reasons. But in the end, it was the combination of Zion and Brandon Ingram that were just too much for the Celtics defense.
There are a lot of things I took away from this game. Kemba Walker's been struggling basically all season. Williams gave the Celtics quality minutes defensively at the five spot. I don't anticipate you're going to see a lot of Tristan Thompson after you saw Zion Williamson bowled him over like that and he fell like a folding chair. And Daniel Theis is doing what he can competitively, but he's just not as good as some of the people that he's going to compete against. But let's make this all about the Pelicans. When Stan Van Gundy first took the job, people follow his track record, understand that he's going to eventually get them to compete defensively. And they're not one of the best defensive teams in the league. But the thing that he has done is feature Zion. When they want a tip ball, they're giving the ball to Zion. They're using him the way the Bucks are using Giannis. He's initiating the offense. Everybody's spotting up, and he's able to make a play. And once he turns the corner, there's a reason why he scored 19 points per game in the paint, and that leads the league. He's virtually unstoppable. And when you cut him off, he has the handle. He has the skills to kick it out to Ingram, who hit the dagger and still gave me a nice 33 points in a win.
Yeah, Zion had some really nice assists, and I just love the way that they're using him. He's got the ball in his hand. He's dribbling more than I've ever seen him dribble in his career thus far, and it worked out. But it is worth mentioning, the Celtics were up by 24 points in this game, and they were kind of cruising. I kind of took my eye off the TV for a while, thinking it was going to be a blowout, and then they fell apart. The Celtics certainly have some things that they need to address, as you mentioned earlier. And Jalen, we've all seen it by now. Cam Newton is at a 7v7 camp in Myrtle Beach, and this conversation happened over the internet.
Cam.
You're a free agent. You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
He's a free agent.
Where your daddy is? Let me talk to your dad. Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
Where's your dad?
It's worth mentioning a few things that are followed from this. One, Cam and this young man had another conversation that was much more cordial and mature. And this young man has gone to Twitter with a pretty lengthy apology, which is exactly what you would have expected. Your perspective on these events, Mr. Rose?
He is a young man, and I'm glad he learned from his misstep. And I'm pretty sure it's going to make him a better human being because of it. But I want to focus on the interaction. And I want everybody to listen to me extremely close. When you talk about that video, if the first thing that comes out of your mouth is that he shouldn't be talking to Cam like that because Cam is a terrific football player that won the championship at Auburn. Cam is a guy that won the MVP for the Panthers. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. If you're hitting me with Cam accolades, you're also a part of the problem. See, people that look like me for so very long, Jacoby, we get judged not only about how we produce, but we get judged by what have you done for me lately. We get judged by our accolades. How about the fact that that's a young man disrespecting his elder? How about that that's a young man who's at a camp that's sponsored by Cam Newton, that's doing something to give back to Carolina, the community he played in for so many years? Adults garner respect. You remember there was a time when people would actually hold the door for somebody elderly or give up their chair so that they could sit down or help somebody carry a bag to the car or you know, just be of service to someone else? Those days have now left us with social media. We now judge everybody on their accolades and how much money that they make. Young people, stop looking at us, people that look like me, and think it's only 5 successful black people. It's like LeBron, Magic, Denzel, and that's it. You know how many times I've been in that situation, Jacoby? You know how many times I've been to basketball camps and somebody want to raise their hand and want to tease me about Bobby Hurley or want to tease me about losing to Shaq and Kobe in the finals. They want to tease me about Kobe scoring 81 on me. And there's an opportunity for them to learn from me when there are people in their mind or on social media that call me a scrub. They call me a scrub. They call me a bum. You know what I'm saying? And the funny thing is, after everything accomplished, if you'll still type those words, if you'll still say those words out of your mouth, you're the problem. And I like the way Cam handled it, but I want to give y'all one last bit of game. I actually don't love his response. His response actually fed into the problem. His response fell back on, I'm rich. That's not our value, people. Our money, our celebrity, our accolades, our fame, that is not our value. That was just a young man disrespecting his elder, is what I saw.
Whether it's Cam Newton or whether it's one of the other coaches or whether it's someone who works in equipment or whether it's a server at a restaurant or whoever it is, you shouldn't be talking to your elders like that. Well, Jalen, that was certainly disrespectful, but it wasn't nearly as disrespectful as this dunk from Anthony Edwards. I know you've seen it by now. We've all seen it 100 times, but guess what? You're going to see it like 4 more times and you're not going to mind because look at that young man soar through the sky and admire what he just did. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned.
Lift every voice and sing.
The clock may be the most important piece of equipment in sports. Whether it's hitting the winning basket with no time on the clock.
Ogunbowale wins the national championship!
An athlete's relationship to the all-important clock can define greatness. And the first clock built in the United States was invented by the son of an ex-slave, Benjamin Banneker.
Victory is won.
Coming to you live from the Seaport District in New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, is now time for the segment where you decide what we discuss. It is Keep It Moving.
Wu-Tang! Wu-Tang!
If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, we will keep moving and we will start with Deion Sanders' debut as a head coach.
Hit the brakes.
We're going to hit the brakes on this. His team won 53-0, but everyone's discussing what happened while he was coaching when some of his items were stolen and he was upset about it during his press conference. Your thoughts?
I would venture to say that I'm the number one fan of Deion Sanders. Not only as a player, but as a man. Jacoby, I don't know if you realize that, but that gentleman is one of my spiritual advisors. That gentleman is one of my mentors. He was somebody when I was in high school and I was in college, I played with his jersey in my locker. I idolized Deion Sanders. You've seen me come on this show with a Jackson State University hat on the day after he got the job. And the reason why I wanted to set the table is a few reasons. I've never told this story publicly. We're talking about the items being stolen. We're not talking about the score of the game. And his team went out and they played really well and got him his first victory. And I'm proud of him. He took a leap of faith in taking that job. And he's going to be a lead domino to a lot of black people that understand that they can go to HBCUs and still make an impact, unlike playing in the NCAA. I was at JRLA about 10 years ago, the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, a school that I founded on the northwest side of Detroit, the neighborhood I grew up in. I walk outside one day, my car was broken into. So the first thing I think is, what should I do? And I was like, I ain't gonna call insurance. I ain't gonna say nothing publicly. I'm not gonna even tell the staff. If you didn't see it, you don't know it happened. And let me give you some game of why I did that. Because when you're trying to give back to your community and something like that happens to you, it now gives somebody else outside of your community the license to judge you and your community by saying, see, he trying to help them out and look how they do him. That's why I don't try to help them out. Right now, we're talking about his items being stolen. We're not talking about the score of the game. I guarantee you, and I believe this is the second time he has some things stolen from him. If this does happen again, or if he could do it again, I don't believe he would have said it at the press conference, because there are a lot of people saying what they would have said if I acknowledged that my car got broken into at the school that I found it in my neighborhood.
Well put, Mr. Rose. We obviously have one of the best dunks of the year. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
It was Anthony Edwards who had a three and decided not to take the three and then did that. What did you think of this dunk?
You nasty, boy. You nasty. How about this example? And you know I'm really visual with these this verbiage. That is something that makes me want to call Crime Stoppers, okay? That right there should be illegal. And when you come into the place and you take no prisoners, you don't want to leave any witnesses. And after he left that night, he even turned over the fish tank. No witnesses. That was nasty.
Turned over the fish tank. Jalen, looks like Boogie Cousins might not be long for Houston. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Boogie's my guy, sponsor of JRLA. He will land on his feet soon. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Quietly, the Toronto Raptors have been turned
hit the brakes.
Around
hit the
their
brakes
season.
Really quick.
They got a big win over the Sixers. Jalen, they've been pretty hot lately. What do you think?
The Raptors have gotten healthy, everyone. And they've beaten a lot of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. Nick Nurse, Fred VanVleet, this squad, Pascal Siakam, has found its groove. So when you start talking about the East, don't forget Toronto and don't forget Indiana. Remember I told you that.
Jalen, Ryan Saunders is no longer the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Keep moving and hit the brakes.
I'm not surprised by this. It was fortunate that he got that opportunity. I love this father flip, but he just didn't get it done. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
We're unclear about the future of Tiger Woods and his involvement in the Masters. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Tiger Woods is a made man. He gonna play when he wanna play. He gonna sit when he wanna sit. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
J.J. Watt had an interesting answer when asked why he hadn't signed with the team yet. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
He was asked on Twitter why he hadn't signed with the team yet, and he said, it takes me an hour to pick a restaurant on DoorDash. Why don't you think it's taking this long? How long does it take you to pick a restaurant when you're ordering food?
It doesn't take me long to pick a restaurant because I'm a foodie, but it takes me a long time to pick a drink at the bar. As you taught me, I don't have a go-to.
It sure does. You do not have a go-to. It's really annoying. When we come back, we will finally celebrate the huge win for the Michigan.
You want to celebrate my chest hair?
Over the... No, no, no. Just go to break. Wednesday night doubleheader starts with 7:30, the appetizer between the Warriors and the Pacers, and then the big game we've all been waiting for. Who's going to end up on top of the Western Conference?
It
is the Lakers against the Jazz. Both those are on ESPN Wednesday night. Jalen, I don't know if you know, but Michigan Wolverines played Ohio State this weekend. What happened?
Hail to the victors. And I want to give a shout to the players. Our veteran leadership, our upperclassmen have been terrific this year on and off the floor. Livers, as you see, driving to the bucket. Smith at the point has been doing an excellent job. Brown defensively on the wing. We also have the big fella down low, Dickinson, as you see him finishing with the left hand. I really believe the Michigan Wolverines have what it takes to cut down the nets this year. Juwan Howard has Michigan playing the best basketball in the Big Ten since the mid-70s.
Not only did the men's team beat the Buckeyes, so did the women's team. So big shout to them as well. It is now time for Soft Move or Boss Move. Wiz Khalifa told a story where him and Kevin Durant were going to the club, and at the club at the Velvet Rope, we've all been there before. Apparently, Kevin Durant's group was allowed to enter, and they said no to Wiz Khalifa. Kevin Durant looked at Wiz Khalifa and said, "Guess I'll talk to you later." Soft move or boss move, not bringing all the homies in the club.
Get well soon, Dr. Dre. I've been there. I've done that. Been there. Done that. You got to come correct, dog. If you can't get in, if you don't meet the requirements, if you don't doing what you're supposed to do, I'll holler at you when I'm out, but I'm going up.
Oh, that's a soft move. That's a soft move. If you came with somebody, you got to go in with them. There's another club to let you in. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. on ESPN. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is recording podcast exclusive content. Jalen, there's a couple things I want to talk to you about, okay? Now, you were so eloquent, and you really brought to light a lot of things about the Deion Sanders situation that I hadn't considered. That's one of the reasons I love doing this show with you. But there's one thing that Deion said that I have to talk to you about to get some perspective. It's not that deep. He said that he had watches stolen, right? And I noticed during the press conference he was wearing a watch. How many watches does he leave the house with?
Well, first off, let me set the table for all you youngsters out there. If you ever heard these two words, if you ever heard this one word used back to back, and that word is bling bling, there are a few people to help usher that era in. Deion has been grandfathered. Please believe me. So has Mr. T. So has, I can name you a lot of people.
Slick Rick, you gotta bring Slick Rick's gotta be involved.
Slick Rick, the ruler. Like, there are some people that if I really want to sit here and name some people, like, he falls into that category. So you and I both know he's going to leave home with more than one outfit, more than one pair of shoes. He ain't going to be like Anthony Davis where somebody get blood on his shirt and he come out there with a team issue collar shirt on that's way too small. He ain't going to do that. You know what I'm saying? He's like a Detroiter. We wear outfits. You know what I'm saying? I got fits on deck, on deck, on deck. I got 2-3 player glasses right here, like all of that. And so I am not surprised that he had his jewels with him. And here's the last reason why. He just moved there, dog. He just moved there, dog. He probably like, if it's valuable to me, I'm taking it with me. For now.
I guess so. He said he got watches. So he had at least two watches in the bag and then one watch on his wrist. And man, God bless him. God bless him. And Jalen, I also, since we ran out of time at the end of the show, I want to talk about this KD Wiz Khalifa thing again. Because I can't tell you how many times when I was broke and in my 20s, and there's like, say, like 3 or 4 dudes, which is always tough to get in the nightclub because I'm not famous, Jalen Rose. I'm just some guy. And I could try to go to the Velvet Rope, and like I got one homie with jeans on. Like back in the day, you couldn't wear jeans to club. Like dress codes used to be a lot more strict than they are now. And so if we had 3 friends, we're excited to go to this nightclub, and 3 of us got on some whack, you know, like khaki-ish type of pants, and one person has jeans, and they say, no, you guys can't come in because this one person had jeans. I would never ever go in without that one person. We would just find somewhere else to go. Like that's part of the code, isn't it?
So, let me distinguish what go to the club means when you say with somebody.
Okay.
Because there are certain people that you have in your phone. There are certain people that you consider your friends or those that you kick it with that you only see while you out.
There's levels.
That you only see what they never come to your house. They never met your mom. They never met your wife. They never met your kids. You only see them when you out. If they fall into that category, you only see them when they out. They should already know the rules. So I ain't about to like be trying to babysit another human being about what they should do in order for all of us to get into the spot. Because you know, at some point of the night, that person had to say, screw it. I'm going to wear what I want to wear. And you're going to love this line. Because I know they're going to let Jalen in anyway.
I like this. I like this. I know I can just attach myself, my wagon to the Jalen horse. So I can get in regardless. So I can be a little bit looser with the code.
You see what I'm saying? And so now I'm the human being negotiating with security and management to try to get this individual in. Not them. You see what I mean? I don't need that.
I think you're absolutely right. And as much as I'm now at the age where it's like, I need to have an in and know somebody. And like I'm at the age where it's not wait online and try to hustle my way in. But there's a little part of me, just like everything else, like, but that you kind of miss when you're broke. I do miss the hustle. Like, I do miss, you know, faking and being on the list or saying, you know, somebody that you don't, or like looking at the flyer and naming one of the hosts, hoping that you're not talking to that person. Like, I do miss that hustle so much. But like, I ain't waiting outside. I can't tell you how many times there's like some big party in New York City, and like me and two homeboys would get dressed up and get drunk and ready to go. And then we'd like get out the cab and we see the line is like down the entire block, and just be like, oh, let's get another cab. This ain't working. And they're like, no, nope. This ain't it for us tonight. This party's a little too hot for me.
But here's where the word comes in that helps you on all occasions. Frequency. Mm-hmm. And you know where I'm going, Jacoby. You and I are locked arms with this. I remember when I used to always talk about this, at first you used to laugh. But now you like, that's the move. Here's why.
Oh, yeah.
Because if I'm coming there on a normal Friday or Saturday and I'm breaking bread with everybody like I do, it's not going to change for me on the 4th of July when it's super crowded, or on New Year's Eve when it's super crowded. You know what they're gonna do? They're gonna park the Red Sea for all of those people who don't consistently come and let me in. And a lot of those people are gonna think it's just because he's Jalen Rose. It's just because he's so famous. It ain't that. It's because they know me and I take care of them. It's like having Clear at the airport. I remember Clear first started. People thought that I was just walking up and getting special treatment. I'm like, excuse me, trying to get by people. They grumble.
Yeah, they escort you. They escort you up there. Yeah. It's Clear they escort you.
Yeah. they hating and complaining and da-da-da. Dog, I'm Clear. I done already registered. And that's how it is when I go to restaurants, bars, anywhere else. I'm Clear.
One thing I learned in my late 20s at these nightclubs in New York City is we go out with my homeboys, not really be on the list. You know what I mean? All I learned is all it costs is $40. $40. That's it. $40. So my boys would be online. I'd be like, hold on a second. Let me go talk to him. I'd go up to the guy and I'd be like, here, $40 handshake. And then we're right in past everybody. And my boys would always be like, do you know him? Like, what just happened? I'm like, yo, I gave him 40 American dollars and we just saved ourselves 45 minutes. And now we're right in the club. Like, sometimes that's just it's all it takes. Sometimes people just want $20, $40. And you can call yourself, you can save yourself a lot of headaches. Good. Big shout to Wiz Khalifa, who found his way into the club later and they ended up partying together.
But here's the thing. Wiz is one of the more famous stoners.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to get in and out of spots.
Yeah.
You know what Kevin Durant don't need to wake up worrying about tomorrow? Wiz getting in the club.
Yeah. And we don't know where Wiz was at in his career when this happened. You know what I mean? Because Wiz at one point was sort of an underground, kind of like, you know, maybe didn't know his name unless you really had your ear to the streets. But now Wiz was getting into whatever he wants to now.
And then here's the other thing. The celebrity that thinks just because I'm so rich and I'm so famous that I can bring these 35 people in dressed anyway.
Mm-mm. You promote a nightclub and someone's like, oh, yeah, you'd love to have a famous person behind those velvet ropes. You would love that if you're promoting that night and you've got to deal with the club. But you know what you don't love? Having one famous person and then just 15 dudes sitting, you know what I mean? Like, that's not how you curate your party to be, you know? Like, it's cool. I would love to have Jalen Rose come, but if Jalen Rose shows up with a dozen dudes, that's not really how I'm curating my environment inside.
And also, a dozen people in a lot of cases that ain't even breaking bread. You see what I'm saying? And so I understand how KD played this. And like you said, Wiz eventually got in. And I'm pretty sure he know his way around. He ain't hold no hard feelings.
Oh, I know. I can't even think of the last time I went to like a real nightclub. I can't even think of it. That's how washed I am. Well, not even COVID. I wasn't going to nightclubs before COVID. I don't even know. Like, I'm going to bed at midnight. Now, Jalen, there's a couple things I want to discuss with you. Number one, Louis Vuitton, I don't even know what the other, Moet Hennessy bought Jay-Z's Ace of Spades brand. Financial terms are not disclosed. But if you remember, he's talking about Cristal all the time. Then the owner, Cristal, made some disparaging remarks. So that he got invested with the, I think it's called Armand Bergeat. I can't say it. But basically, Ace of Spades. And you know this number was a huge number. Jay-Z just keeps leveling it up. We're going to find out around what this number is, but there's going to be a lot of zeros on it.
Shout to Jay-Z. And you brought up something earlier that I was going to touch on, but you just reminded me when you went to this Jay-Z topic. A lot of the segregation at clubs and about dress codes was literally mainstream America trying to fight the onslaught of rap music and hip hop culture taking over everywhere. That's what it was about. That's the NBA did it also. Instituted the dress code.
A lot of codes in the codes. No right. Saggy pants. No right. Baggy jeans. No sports gear. It's like,
no
guys.
No Timberlands.
Yeah, just say what you want to say. Just say you what know you want to say.
Just say no black people.
Yeah, just say no black people. Just say it.
That was all coded, right? That's what, and that's, and by the way, I'm distinguishing that between the spots that you need to actually go, and it's an exclusive crowd where you need to dress up. I know that difference too. There should be places with a dress code. I get that. But me and you talking about the code. And I bring up Jay-Z and that business deal as I extend that thought, because as a now entrepreneur, billionaire, and somebody to start off in the dope game, that's now married to Beyonce, that's accomplished so many things that he's accomplished as a lyricist and one of the greatest rap musicians of all time. I'm a part of Roc Nation management. Think about that for a second. I'm a part of Roc Nation management. They helped get me a deal with Puma. They helped get me a deal with the New York Post. And so, as hip hop has now become the heartbeat of our culture, you're going to continue to see more people break through the multimillionaire status to the billionaire platform. And Jay-Z's leading the way, along with a lot of other people. Puff comes to mind, that are artists. Master P, I did an interview. Master P can sell water to a well, dog. I want you right now to go to Master P's Instagram page. It's like a supermarket. He got on his desk.
It's a QVC?
Dog, and it's real. He got Miyagi shoes. He got Rap Snack cereal. He doing everything. It's like the George Foreman theory. People see him now and don't understand that he was an elite level championship boxer. They just understand it. Wow, that's George Foreman with the grills. And so that's the goal, youngsters, as you start to get older, to reinvent yourself.
Jalen, I have a thought. I want you to go to the Roc Nation brunch. Find out when, post-COVID, when it's on the calendar, whatever you got to do, miss a couple shows. I want you to go to the Roc Nation brunch. I'm not even trying to be your plus one or any of that. I want you to go to the Roc Nation brunch. I want you to go.
Thank you. I've been to one. I obviously wasn't able to go this past year. And I actually took an iconic picture with two of those people. that I posted, Jay-Z and Puff. That's why I wanted that picture. I'm like, two of us is billionaires. And then I look, and I'm like, it ain't me. And one of them ain't me. You know what I'm saying? Like, hold on. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the wrong profession. You know what I'm saying?
We all saw it coming. We all saw it coming, but Kim and Kanye filed for divorce. We always celebrate power couples here.
We do.
But at what point did you see this really happening?
From the beginning. And I'll say this respectfully. Kanye's first two or three albums were incredible.
Well, I'd extend it beyond that.
But like, I'm talking about like, to me, like his first two or three in particular were like incredible. I'm a huge fan of his music. I was never a fan of him becoming a Kardashian. Especially after what I'm about to say. As somebody that just lost his mom, I paid attention to Kanye's behavior after he lost his.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, for people that love me, just so y'all know, and shout to our director, Tommy, who understands what I'm dealing with, and he's lost a parent and stuff like that, and a sibling. The one thing I saw with Kanye that I'm looking to make sure that does not happen with me is that I saw him lose his filter, and it seems like it drove him to a point where he became, I ain't gonna say it drove him crazy. I'm gonna say that it sent him into a state of confusion, I think. Because like as I sit here now, and I keep telling myself this, since my mom died and my grandmother died, and I lost my Uncle Pam when I lost my brother Bill, like those were like the matriarchs of my family. Like everybody's family dynamic is different. And the one thing I keep saying to myself is like, I'm different. I'm freaking different. I don't know what that means. I don't know, like, I don't want that to be now I got road rage because somebody cut me off on the street.
Are you different than a previous you, or are you different from other people? What do you mean by that?
I'm a different version of me.
Okay.
And being different and that change can go two ways. It could be a hostility or it could be a humility. For him, I saw the hostility, the anger, the frustration, the pain. And I think that drove him to marry her. I don't even think she was his cup of tea. Like the first two or three albums of Kanye, he wouldn't mess with her. I don't believe he wouldn't mess with her. If his mother was still alive, I don't believe he messed with her. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody that's extremely close with Big Sean, and you know this off wax, Jacoby, I publicly bit my tongue on a lot of Kanye related things over the last X amount of years. Because he put my little brother on. You know what I'm saying? Like to be 1,000. And I can't be out here dissing him when he helped my brother. And so as they go their separate ways, for me, I'm still going to look at him. Because I hate to say this, I've seen her date 35,000 people. She's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen her date everybody. And it's not a diss. Like, everybody has, like, hurt and pain and love and when people go their separate ways type of thing. And I'm wishing for her healing. I'm wishing for their kids' peace. It's always tough to raise a broken family because that's what this now is, a broken family. When both parents don't live with the kids, that's a broken family. And so I'm just hoping that this does not take him down a road further than what I described. I hope this becomes something that's enlightening for him and her and the kids, that allows them all to move better forward. Hopefully this doesn't become a stumbling block for him and her, because I saw that happen to him once before when he lost his mom.
And he's got well-documented mental health issues, and we just wish the best for him and obviously the children that are involved. And Jalen, there's a couple more things I want to talk to you about. Something's happening in NBA circles, but more nerdy NBA circles than the ones you are in. I want to know if you know anything about it. And I can't, I'm going to try to explain it. Do you know what NBA Top Shot is?
NBA Top Shot, no.
Okay, let me try to explain it. I don't really know. I'm mansplaining here. But you get a basketball card, a Jalen Rose basketball card, right? And it's a picture. A picture that it's probably like a Getty image even, right? So that picture's not exclusive to that card, but I can have it and I own it and collect it, right? NBA Top Shot is doing that with video highlights. So like that Anthony Edwards dunk, I can buy and own and collect that Anthony Edwards dunk. Right?
Uh-huh.
It's a little confusing because you're thinking, hey, if I want to see the Anthony Edwards dunk, I can just go to Twitter and search it and it's right there in a million different ways. So do you think that this type of sort of collection, this type of collector's piece, a digital video, will work in the same way that basketball cards worked previously?
Yes, they will. And for all of you sports fans out there and you young people that are looking to feed your entrepreneurial spirit, let me tell you something that's been happening since the beginning of time. Collectors have made money off sporting items like cards and autographs and jerseys and balls since the beginning of time. I have a card company contract with Panini. They send me cards. I get paid X amount to sign the cards. And then, you know, one day when I was in the league, what I did, I'm like, I want to go to the card show. Because if I'm getting paid X to sign this card, that means they're getting Y once I've signed.
Oh, X plus Y.
And so, yeah. Right. And so I go to a card signing, like a huge trade show, like a convention. And it wasn't necessarily the best decision, because it was like, this is the audience that knows me backwards and forwards.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I had to take a couple pictures that day.
At all. Right. I was doing then what you're saying that they're able to sell now. Those people are going to take those pictures and videos and sell them now. That's my point. And so therefore, I do think this is going to work. And it's almost like the hologram thing. Remember, I told you this. When the Clippers get their new arena, it's going to be the greatest thing the sports has ever seen. Don't be surprised, in particular, if we're still dealing with a pandemic, when they have holograms at the game.
Oh, they have this already in soccer. There's this one team, I think that they're like the Dragons or something, and in their arena, like the dragon like climbs over the side of the arena and like flies onto the field. It's the illest thing you've ever seen. And I just wish the Clippers had a cooler mascot if they're going that way, because I don't want to see a big boat, like, you know what I mean? But like, like they'll do something. They do something like that. You will see that the fan experience will be more futuristic and visual as we move forward. Now, Jalen, you saw that the United plane had the engine explode and a part of it landed in Colorado and that whole thing. I just want to tell a quick personal story. I'm in spring break at Cancun, sitting right on the wing. We take off from Cancun. Janky airline. Like, I'm broke. I'm probably, you know, whatever. Get the package. We know how this works. Halfway, we're up flying probably about 10 minutes out. Engine on fire. Not just any engine on fire. Engine on fire on my wing, on my side. Imagine being in a plane just looking out the window and just seeing flames, waka faka flames just coming out of the engine. And I remember being so tired from spring break that I was too tired to really freak out. And I was just like, I can't believe it's gonna happen. I was like, if I'm gonna go, I guess after this last 7 days I've had, this is the way to go. I just lived for the last 7 days in Cancun. Ted Cruz style. I'm in Cancun. And then the plane turned around, ended up landing. And the, you know, what they did is they gave us like a boarding pass, and in a receipt, for some reason on the back of the receipt, they took a pen, a marker, and wrote $10 so we could get something to eat and drink while we're waiting for the next plane. I realized that I can get these pieces of paper anywhere. I just need a marker. So I got a marker and I just started drawing money. We had so much fun. Started drawing money everywhere. Just getting a piece of paper, writing $10 on them and giving them to the bartender, getting three Coronas. Yo, that was living. What would you do if you saw the engine blow up on your side and you're sitting on the wing?
As a frequent traveler, you know, these topics I try to avoid for obvious reasons. I believe I would freak out. I would be the passenger that's doodling all over the plane on himself, screaming. I would be him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But you know that's nothing to do with the plane getting fixed or getting or landing. Like, no action that you take is going to help in any way, shape, or form.
I'm screaming until the plane stop. Okay. Until the plane stop. Real spiel. I've been on a lot of challenging flights, as you know. Playing in the NBA and flying through winter. Just think about that. NBA players fly through winter and play 82 basketball games. So I could tell you some crazy travel horror stories where I was on roller coaster flights. Was like, whoa!
Oh, those ones? Yeah, when they drop like 200 feet or whatever, your stomach goes into your brain. Yeah.
For real. And so, yeah, that's what I would do.
We got time for one voicemail. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. And we always appreciate hearing from you. So, again, call 985-80-JALEN, leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this.
Hey, what up, Jalen? What up, Jacoby? Shout out, Reg. I was just calling. I had a question for y'all. How I am fixing to move in with my girl for the first time. It'll be the first time I've lived with a female. So I was just wondering if y'all had any advice on what I should look out for, what I should and should not do, what I should and should not say at this time. So thank you.
Moving in with the girl for the first time. First of all, congratulations just for even considering taking that step. We always support power couples. Sounds like you're in a power couple. Jalen, you start. What's your advice for this young man?
I didn't hear the first part of the question. I was texting.
Oh, he's moving in. He's moving in with his girlfriend. First girl he's ever lived with.
Okay. Right?
So I've got a lot here. Number one, it's a dirty part of this life that we lead, but it's important. Keep your finances in order. Get out in front of the finances. Understand, I'm not saying you got to pay for everything. I'm not saying you have to split everything 50-50, but there has to be an agreement about how we're going to handle the finances of living together. That's one of the things that is important. It's like, there needs to be an agreement so it's upfront, so it's not something that surprises anybody later. That's one thing that's important. It's not fun. It's not funny, but that's just like an important part of living with somebody. You're next.
That's amazing advice. And in doing that leads to a second point that I'm going to make, and that's understanding what each other's strengths and weaknesses are. So therefore, if she's the breadwinner and her background is in finance, then probably she's going to, you know, be the lead domino for y'all team in that. And there are going to be other things that you might be the lead domino at. The one thing I'll say is, in living together for the first time, is clean up after yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, in the kitchen. Don't be the person that every time you cook and every time you eat, either the plate is still sitting where you ate it, or you're just putting it in the sink, expecting somebody else to wash it and clean it up.
Oh, you know, my problem is around the house is I worked at a pizza place and there was a very strict rule. It was take it out of where it belongs, use it, and then put it back where it belongs before you move on. Like, that was just ingrained in my, like, you get yelled at. If it's like, oh, you need the tomato sauce? Cool, tomato sauce is here. You take out the tomato sauce, you open the jar, use the tomato sauce, and you don't just move on. You close the jar, you put the tomato sauce back so you can find it there next time. And I find in my house, my wife does so many things around the house I don't do. She sets up the kids' education. I'm not complaining about her for a second because she does more than I do around the house. But she will use things and just leave them there and then move on to the next thing, whether it's the next stage of cooking or feeding the kids or whatever, and then not circle back and put the things away. So cleaning up after yourself in the kitchen is extremely important. And also, you're gonna uncover things about her that you don't like that you didn't previously know. Regardless of what that is, you're gonna uncover things about her that you don't like.
And vice versa.
Exactly, and vice versa. But that's part of maturing your relationship. It just becomes a deeper appreciation and understanding of each other. And you'll uncover things that you love about her that you didn't know about.
And also, respectfully, have as much sex as possible. And then the other thing, don't feel like since y'all living together that you can just blow up the bathroom and not fumigate. Don't do that. Yeah. Get you some spray. Get you some incense. You feel in your stomach as you walk to the bathroom what you're going to do. It is not a surprise. It is not a surprise. Don't get up off of that toilet and leave stains on it.
Stop.
Toilet paper in it. And don't leave out of the bathroom and it smells so very badly. Don't be that person.
And there's going to be some stuff that is just the man jobs. Like, you're going to have to take out the trash. She's never, ever, ever going to take out the trash. And that's fine. You're going to have to do, like, the light bulbs and the handiwork and all that stuff. And that's totally fine. That's part of the game. Appreciate you so much, Jalen. Appreciate the call. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that?
We're not done. We are not done.